This is Miss B, the goddess of empathy. The name is for you. The title is for me. You can just call me Miss B, and I am here with 2024 HIV Stops With Me spokesman, Jose Barrientos. I'm so excited that he decided to join us today, and we're just going to have a conversation. And maybe you can learn a little bit about HIV. I'll learn more about him. He'll learn more about me, and we can learn together. So welcome, Jose. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here. I'm doing well. I just got off of work recently,
Okay.
so a little tired, but it wasn't one of our most one of my worst what is it most worst days, so I'm very
Yeah.
grateful with that. I think it
Yeah,
was
we got
meant to be.
one of our first major snow issues happened in New York today. So I'm glad you made it home
Yes.
safe, definitely.
Thank you. Thank
So, for those who don't know you, just
you.
tell me about yourself, Jose. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. So a little brief. So I'm 30 years old. I have been living with HIV since the year 2010. So I will be I say I like to say I celebrate, but yes, the date of diagnosis was April 21st of 2010. I do remember that day very well, and so I'll be 14 years. It'll be 14 years this year. And more about me, I was born in the month of May. I am a Taurus,
Oh.
and I do consider myself a passionate person, very social. And the older I've gotten, I believe I've collected more of a empathy and compassion to people of every diverse groups that I cross paths with today still. I am also someone who has suffered with substance use in the past, and I do strong. I'm very proud of who I am today because I am actually in recovery. So very thankful for the fellowships, and the support groups that are out there for people
Yes.
like me.
Yes.
And I am my career. So I'm a substance abuse counselor. So that kind of with the experience of someone who lived on the flip coin, the other side of the flip side, I am
Yes.
now someone who I'd like to say I pay it forward now by doing the best I can, being of service that way. So I think I touched bases of career, a little bit of my personal facts, the HIV, and I am on, oh, medicine wise, I'm currently on Biktarvy. Biktarvy is a once a day pill, and I have ventured out with other medicines.
Yes.
And yeah, I think that's I live in Queens, New York, New York City, Queens, and it hasn't always been that way. I
Yes.
originally am I'm yeah I am originally from Los Angeles, California. I
Oh,
moved
okay.
yeah and I moved a little bit, but I have
Yeah.
been here in New York since 2022. Yeah, 2022. So it's been a few years. Yeah.
Awesome. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
How did you become to be a spokesmodel? How'd that happen?
Okay. Oh, wow. That's a really good question. So I was invited to an event because I was actually in the middle of my internship. So this internship was to get into the career that I am in today.
Okay.
And I was invited to a it was called the Bronx LGBT Expo, and there I met without mentioning names, but I met
Yes.
some of tw without mentioning any names, but I met the previous year's spokesmodels of 2023, and I just saw what they did. I saw what they did with the with their you know with the with the with the you know with their sorry
Oh,
the
you're doing fine.
platforms,
Yes.
the so I also was able to meet I met one of the HIV Stops With Me representatives, someone who runs, who kind of oversees the spokesmodels,
Yes.
and it was a delight. I introduced to him, and I was a kind of fan, like a little fangirl a little bit, and then I did. I asked permission. I was like, "Can I ask?" I did. I was a little. I'm a little
Wow.
forward. I'm a little forward, and I said, "How can someone like me, like, because someone like me become someone like that on the other side of those tables?" And so, yeah, I was able to hear their stories. And yeah, I sent in. I did what he asked me to do, and
That's
here we are.
awesome. It makes me think about I heard they say you have not because you ask not, and how it's so important to like be in the now and just take the opportunity. I'm not like a sports person, but what they say Michael Jordan said, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take or something. But I think that's wonderful how you seize that opportunity. And because you seize that opportunity, we all get to know you and your journey. That's awesome. Oh, goodness. Thank you for
Thank
that.
you. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you
you
for the question.
so much for that. So, what do you think, in your opinion, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about living with HIV?
I don't want to sound, I think it's the what I've learned in my life is it's
Yes.
always good to ask a question. So,
Yes.
can you elaborate the meaning to you of the misconception? What would that mean in this question for you?
For me, I usually think about physical. Like some people may see, well, for me, like people say, well, you don't look like you have it. Like that is a misconception that people may look a certain way if they have it. So a misconception could be that you look sick or you look sickly or frail. So anything that you would say is people think is true, but it's not true, in your
And
opinion.
that question in my towards me or just my
Yes.
opinion in okay.
Yeah, however you want to, whichever way flows from you.
Okay. Can you repeat the question again?
Yes. What
Sorry.
do you think? No, you're doing fine. And we already said, and I already told them, and you guys know me. There's nothing wrong with pauses. When we pause, that's fine. That's how we learn, you know?
Thank you.
So what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about living with HIV?
Okay. In my experience, so in my experience, it's always been it's always been a journey. It's a journey, definitely. And I've learned through the 14 years of living with HIV that everyone's walk is different. Everyone's experience will be a little different. And for me, the first few years were scary for me because I paid attention a lot to the stigma, and I paid a lot attention to the prognosis and the people would say 10 years, within 10 years you will
You're
deteriorate,
dead.
you will die, so Jose, before, in the middle of zero converting, when I was told the information, and then when I was still kind of accepting it, and it took some time. So for me, it was definitely acceptance, learning what works for me to accept the journey that I'm walking, because and it wasn't always easy because I also, like I mentioned earlier, I am a recovering addict, so I had to learn to get my vices out of the way, and learn from that, because I was so angry at a lot of things, and to myself, and to people. And in the end, it was just I needed a little more education and a little more understanding of who I am and what am I supposed to be. And plus, I was very young. I was a very, very young person, and just misinformed and misguided. But nonetheless, I today I don't blame anyone anymore. But I lived most of my, I would say the first 5 years, very, very angry. Very angry at myself, very angry at a lot of the people, because I felt, I just felt a lot. But
Wow.
I'm in a whole different place, thanks, thanks to the universe and God and stuff. So
Yes. So thank you for that transparency. There were a lot of nuggets in that. A lot of deep wisdom
Thank
in that.
you.
So I want to say congratulations on becoming a certified alcohol and substance abuse counselor. I know that
Thank you.
it's not easy. I attempted a few times and couldn't. But that is wonderful that you've got that you stuck. You are a qualified health professional. You could sign the paperwork. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Thank
Did you
you.
celebrate yourself? Did you celebrate that?
I think I've given myself a little bit of praise, but
Yes.
I have a hard time. It comes with a lot of the drug use. I'm more than sure of it, and maybe some trauma through growing up, but I have a hard time really celebrating myself. But yes, I'm definitely, I hear when people say, "You're doing amazing," or "Keep up the good work." And sometimes it takes me a little bit of time for my feet to kind of touch the ground and feel the reality that this is really happening, or this is really his, my truth or my reality. And but thank you for asking that, because I actually it gives me a perspective that I should be a little more, celebrate myself a little more, because it is a good job.
It's a great accomplishment. In a perfect world, if I could wave a magic wand and there were no insecurities and no triggers, and how would you celebrate that great accomplishment? Or maybe if it's maybe hard for you, maybe think of a best friend and they did something great. How would you celebrate that with them? Something a great accomplishment. What would you do for them?
The only thing that comes to mind is, like, at least for me, I think I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do, because I've noticed that if I got any more like braggier, if that's even a word, like I would feel like
It's a
that's
word
not,
today.
like it's not humble enough, or it's not like, 'cause there's no need. And ethically, I think it's also not who I should be. And but if someone, like a friend, or if I was speaking to myself in a sense, I think it's, just keep up the good work, and know that, you're always learning, and more will always be revealed, even when another trial or tribulation kind of comes in. The world continues to re-challenge us, because we're reaching another tier or level of who we are, kind of embarking even more further, because we're always evolving, and we're always evolving, and it's important to be aware that, if you're heading that way, you must at least, know that you're not going to be going that direction. So if you feel like it's something's not similar, or it's not, you don't realize that it's the same anymore, the differences means you're changing and you're evolving and you're moving forward. So I think that was a mouthful.
No,
But
you did good. You're doing good. I'm loving
yeah.
it. I'm trying not to write everything. I'm like, it's recorded. Calm down. Recorded. But it's really, really good.
No.
I don't know if you know this, but I come from a family addiction. Both sides of the family. I was a drug counselor for many years,
Oh, nice.
and not a recovering addict. I'm not in recovery, not an addict. And they have all these different. They teach us all these theories and styles and psychology. So just from I was harm reduction. I was all about harm reduction. As I got out of the field and saw things a little bit differently, I kind of embrace like an abstinence model. What modality or what do you favor as far as a counselor? And I know you have to be flexible and it can't be one thing, but just from because you have the education and you have the lived experience. So, what's your take on that? What therapeutic model do you think is most effective in your opinion?
So I'm gonna be very transparent.
Yes.
I still am, I'm in training,
Yes.
but I've been very, very, so I'm definitely still working my way to officialize my credential. So,
Yes.
but I am a, they call it a KSAC-T in the field.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
with that, but my, I don't know if it's really a model or a modality, but it's, there's nothing like, you said one of the best ones, harm reduction is, a great like aspect of it, but it's also like, I like to say the line of meeting somewhere where they're at,
Yeah, yes.
so if, because like, for someone, and I have to also say thank you for your service, because if you're saying that someone, you're not a person who dealt with, drugs in your life, but you must have, you still had a passion and you still
Yeah.
served for so many years, and as someone like me, it's very common for a person in recovery to want to be attracted to this field because they're like, well, I have the experience, so it would be very easy for me because I can relate to people who are still using or suffering with, disorders of some sort. So,
Yeah.
for me, it's pretty much that because I felt so lost so for me it has been very easy, but it helps me more. It's almost like paying it forward. I don't know if that makes any
Yes.
sense, but like by me learning about other people, I'm also learning about myself because
Definitely.
I see what's still out there. One thing I see what and I see myself grow, and I see how other people and other peers or other people in the field professionally, how they've grown, and they might be they maybe have walked the same walk as I have, or if that makes any
Yeah,
sense. So,
it definitely does. I
yeah.
know, for me, I would always come from the family perspective, and at one time I would counsel or coach people who were of the family, and it was so weird because they take that, some of them, not all of them, it's like the family member from the outside, the person who was the addict got blamed for everything. It was like, but it's funny because just because you might not use substances, a lot of times people who grow up in those situations and who date people like that, we have the same addictive behaviors. And we might not take a drug, but we'll eat up a bunch of stuff and we'll have toxic relationships. And it will manifest in other ways. So that was one of the things, they'd be like, oh, Miss B, you don't understand. I said, no, when I understand that. When you catch a charge, a drug charge, and you're in prison, we're in prison with you. Like this is how this we feel it the same way. And just because we don't use that doesn't mean that we're perfect. We still have those same behaviors. So that's in full transparency. No perfection over here. Sometimes I'll be like, I wish I could say I had a problem because the stupid stuff that I'm doing,
You got that
Definitely.
right.
Yeah,
Definitely.
definitely. But definitely thank you for that. So now, one of the other questions. Okay, one of the things I wanted to ask you, there is a community center in Albany for people with HIV/AIDS, and it's part of my support group. And one of the things that has been happening, there has been a lot of my friends are dying, and it's not HIV, they're overdosing. They're overdosing. So, I'm not even sure how to ask you a question on that, but it's one of the things that's heartbreaking. It's like we get them healthy. We got them, we have their viral load, they're eating, they're going to the doctor, but they're overdosed. So what's your take? I kid you not, in a year, I can't even count how many. I lost track. So what's your take on how having HIV, living with HIV, how it affects addiction and or recovery.
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry that you've experienced that. A loss is a loss, and I think the more I've been in this field, I've also realized that there's an experience of a person that slowly decays is almost the most saddest thing in the world. And then when death happens, it's almost like, well, at least they're in a better place. That sounds, because I there's some people that, that's how, that's kind of it sounds a little cold, but it's kind of how people that I work with, we've found a way to kind of speak about things like that, and it helps. And it, because it can be very, very mentally debilitating to workers, and so yeah. So I so to answer the question, so I'll get a little transparent. When I was in my active addiction, and I really paid attention to those, the mental disorders and all those things like depression, anxiety, like mild symptoms. Like I literally, I'm gonna expose a little bit of my, what I went through. I was going through psych. What was the term they told me? Drug-induced schizophrenia is what I was slowly going into, and but it goes to show you that I was, my body was already being exposed to a disorder of that kind, and I was seeing things. I was it was auditory, it was like visuals, and it was a very scary experience. So for someone who experienced that, I can only imagine what people today on the flip side, now that I'm helping people, I see that that they're afraid to tell their truth sometimes. And I remember that, because there are people that are afraid to speak about honesty because they feel they're going to be judged, or they're going to be really thrown into that category that these are lunatics, they're crazy, and they're like, and they're not going to be, what is that word I'm trying to say, is almost like so far gone that you can't fix them anymore, or you can't help them out anymore. So, and that's very common, and that happened to me. There was a side of myself that felt like I was silenced because I was afraid of the stigma or what people are going to believe about me if I really said what I went through, and so that's, I think that's that. And then also, I've realized that people in like that are HIV positive and in their active addiction, of other, I've, other walks of life that I've been I've crossed paths with, a lot of them are just, you have that sense of like, well, I have nothing better to do, or my life is useless now. I'm so, again, and I said the word, I'm so far gone that why try to save myself? You shouldn't save me. And so people start to, they want to be left alone at home, like, and they often die. I've heard of stories where they, people go missing and they're in their house, but you also have people not checking up on them, and that's a whole nother story. It's like what they, it's like there's a saying that, or not a saying, but you'll hear people say, you start, people start getting missed for when they're already gone, and it's like, but when people are still there, they're like, where are you calling me? I don't see you notifying, like all these things. So sometimes I get it, but it goes both ways. If you're seek, it's important to seek help no matter what. Seek some help. We live in I mean, we're in 2024, and mental health awareness is strongly encouraged, for a good, like, at least as far as I can remember, a good 10 years. It's such a relevant thing now, and that's what we're here to do. We want to continue empowering people and letting people know that it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay it's okay to admit that you need help. Yeah, that's it.
Definitely. As you were talking, I was thinking about different people in my life and just different experiences that I have had. And again, coming from a family perspective, and we have our loved ones and those we may be dating or family members who are active addiction or maybe in recovery. When a person, I guess my question is, my question is, does how much influence, if any, does a person on the outside have towards someone who's in active addiction to kind of get help? Do they just kind of have to make the mind up for themselves and do it? Or can continually showing love and reminding them or just being there for them, can that, does, how much does an influence does that make, if any, at all, in your opinion?
That's a great question, Miss B.
You, girl, you helped me stir it up.
Yes, that's why we're flowing. We're
That's
flowing.
right. That's right.
Excuse me. Okay. So the first thing that's coming up is that as someone who actually can express that from an experience. So it's almost making me a little emotional for some
I
reason.
know.
Yeah, it's
Mm.
making me a little emotional because I actually I've been on both sides where and I also have let me just say that my first thought.
Okay, take your time.
So I'm married and I have a husband, and my husband he without saying too much of his business, but he never really got into the hard drugs like I did. And and now he's with someone who is HIV positive, someone who is a recovering addict, and excuse me, and someone who's also a spokesmodel. And I'm
Yes.
and so that's like, I'm putting my business out there. I'm speaking as well, I'm putting as much as my business that I consent to, that I choose to say. And
Yeah.
so with that, my it's ooh, I'm drawing a blank. I'm drawing a blank. But it's yeah. Can you ask the question again? I'm drawing a
Yes,
blank.
how much influence does someone on the outside have towards a person who's in active addiction getting treatment or stop using? Do they have any influence at all, or does the person have to make that decision themselves eventually? Basically, just bugging them help or leaving them alone.
So to answer the question just like straightforward,
Yeah.
and then kind of elaborating about it
Yes.
would be is a line that's floating in my head right now is you're in recovery when you say you're in recovery. So for a person to
Okay.
want to seek help, I would say if you want help, you're gonna seek the help. You can't force, what's that other saying? You can't guide someone, you can't force someone to drink water, but you can guide them to the water, right? Isn't that
Yeah,
how that
yeah,
goes a little bit?
yeah,
So
yeah.
in a way, that's kind of what people in the field do, whether you're a recovery coach, whether you're an actual counselor or whatever the your title might be and your duties.
Yeah.
But and just in the philosophy of life, I mean, you could never force someone to do anything, without anyone's consent, and
Yeah.
so I think we in my experience now, it's taken me until me falling and falling and falling. It took me a handful of times of having to fall on myself and lose a lot of things and hurt a lot of people, and more so kind of like lose myself in the midst of it all, and but some there's another thing I've read before where it's like you only lose yourself so far to be able to find yourself in a whole nother light. So you know what I'm saying? So
Yeah.
I definitely feel like maybe I wasn't ever really so far lost. I was I needed to kind of go in a different direction, but I do have to say I'm very thankful to God, to the universe, that I still have breath and I'm still allowed to for some reason I have been allowed and permitted to still continue, and whether through the downs and the ups and the good and the bads, but and all these obstacles, I am still managing to be here today. And but for people, yeah, it my last answer for that would be it has to take a person to really, really figure out what's going to work for them. What's going to work for them, and why is this not working? And sometimes, oof, this is the part that really hurts. Sometimes death is the result of someone waiting so long to figure something out, and that's why and there's another thing that is said in my support groups that I go for recovery, is they do say jails, institutions, death, and sometimes dereliction, I think is what they say sometimes. So it's like some people can fall into jails, institutions, pretty much losing their mind or developing mental disorders, and even death, so whew, so that's
I want to
those are
say I am so
that.
glad. Thank you for getting up. You fell down. Thank you for getting up. Each and every time you fell, thank you for getting up. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for saying
So, what do
that.
you do for fun? Because you work a lot, you're a spokesmodel. What are some of your hobbies? What do you do for fun?
Okay. Yeah, come on, we're gonna bring some change
Yes.
the mood here. I love it. So for fun,
Yes.
Well, I love love. I mean, I am in a
Yes.
I am in a relationship. I'm very,
Yes.
very, very blessed to have this human being who chooses to be with someone like me. And I dare say it.
Yeah.
You equals you. Just because I am HIV positive, I have a man, I have a husband who is okay with being with someone like me. And
Yes.
you do not have to be HIV positive to deal to be in a relationship with someone who's HIV positive. You can absolutely be HIV negative
Yes.
and find out through medical providers how you can remain that way.
Yes.
And I have to say that because that's like trademark for people who are in relationships like that. And so, but for fun, I love music. We listen to music around the house.
Yeah.
I'm an amateur singer. I mean, I did take like a class when I was back in like high school, but it
Yeah.
wasn't, I'm not a Adele, or I'm not
Yes.
anyone, really high and mighty, but I do
Yeah.
believe I enjoy my voice when I'm at home, and I
Yes.
just sing. I sing to make my space feel full. And
Yes.
we have a dog, so we take care of our dog like if it were our child. What else? Because I'm fairly new to New York, so I
Yeah.
still we go out and we travel.
Yes.
I've also been very excited to be able to bring just recently, I had my mom who lives in Las Vegas, Nevada. She came to visit New York, so it makes me feel very good to know that I'm here and I can be that bridge, that permission for people of the outside, like people who I have now. I now can be like, yo, just come and like visit me. You have a reason to
Yeah.
come to New York, so it makes me
Yes,
feel good that
yes.
I can make people like my mom and my family members experience New York City and finally get out of those places that they are just stuck in. And it's like in life, it's important to just get a taste of everything. It's like
Yes, yes.
life is too short. And
Exactly.
I try to really encourage that to my family, and I mean, and anyone that's watching, and anyone that's gonna watch this,
Yeah, as you were talking, what came to my mind is home. You create a home for people, and there's no place like home. Home is love, it's fun, it's joy. So thank you for that. Because next time I'm in New York City, I'm coming too. I'm
Yeah. Yes, thank you. And you're welcome. Yes. Mi
Thank you. Yes.
casa
So tell your husband I'm
su
coming.
casa. Okay.
So, what's your vision for 2024?
Well, so at this point, I kind of want, I'm like, can we talk about the, I'm like, not the theme just yet, right? But
Not just yet.
yeah,
We can't.
not just
Next
yet, but
Monday we can talk about
yeah, I know, pretty
Yes, pretty
soon, but
soon. Yeah.
it's, you know, just keeping it simple. Finally, because this is my first year. So this is my
Yes.
first year being given the permission, being given the platform, being finally listened to and heard. Like going back to those first 5 years of being recently diagnosed with HIV, like my coming into 2024 has been, it's a awakening. It's a new beginning for that newly diagnosed human being, you know, referring to myself, that was afraid, that was trying to be a part of something, a community, to not feel alone. And so coming into 2024, into this, into, you know, HIV Stops With Me, the dot org, into this family, into this community, it's like I finally am satisfying. I'm finally cradling that young, that scared, and that and that all of those things, you know. So coming into this is it's healing, it's recovery, it is excitement, it is love, it is harmony, it is family, it is community, it is knowledge, it is education, it is so much that I more will be revealed. I'm more than I can even continue to express. And but it's a year of still learning, of still growing, but to finally being me and to finally feeling like I can be heard. You know, like because as a yeah, as a first timer, first year in this in this what do we call it? I'm sorry, this family,
Campaign.
this
Yeah,
campaign.
campaign.
There we go. This
Yeah.
camp. But you know, my first year being in the part of this campaign, it's me finally just feeling noticed, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it too, because it's a little dark, but there's a, you know, you can't have light with a little bit of dark,
There
so
you go. There you go.
I embrace that darkness, you know, and
Yeah.
so by giving it some light,
Yes.
you know, I always felt that, you know, because of the stigma and and how like the AIDS epidemic and all that stuff that happened, you know, I was always back in 2010, I believed that 10-year prognosis, that expectation of how
Yeah.
long of someone can live,
Yeah.
that haunts, that used to haunt me. And I'm gonna and you see how I kind of skip, it still manages to get to me sometimes.
Yeah.
And that is why I know that I'm just like that person who just got their diagnosis today, or will be getting it soon, you know. And
Yeah.
just
Yeah.
because there's medicine there and all of this stuff out there, you know, it still happens. People are still becoming HIV positive, you
Yeah.
know. And so that's why we're doing stuff like this. That's why we're
Yes.
doing this campaign in 2024 to
Yes.
still manage to let people know that, hey, we have voices and you are just
Yes.
like me, you know.
Yep.
Black woman, non-binary,
Yep.
gay, straight,
Yes.
whatever, you know, it's
Yes.
like
Yes.
you can be just like us,
Yep. And live
and it's okay.
productive, fulfilling lives. And I can tell you one thing. I believe people are here to teach us our friendships, really. I know
Yes,
I believe
all
one thing that you're I'm going to
of
learn
that.
from you, and I'm learning now, is to be in the now, to be in the present. You appreciate the now so much, and I appreciate that about you. Don't change, don't stop. Keep
No.
that gift. Do you
Thank
have
you.
any parting words? Anything you want to leave us with?
I don't know, keep an eye out, stay tuned,
Yes.
because there's more information that's going to be going around from me, from someone like Miss B,
Yes.
and all the other spokes models that are there. I mean, I don't know if it's safe to say HIVstopswithme.org. Check
Yes,
us out
it
and check out the spokes models from before. And there's also a YouTube. You can always just put HIV Stops With Me on YouTube. And that's actually how I got more information about the campaign and the spokes models. A little bit more is yes, more will be coming. I'm in the works of getting some activities and some groups going for the few months to come. So I'm still waiting
Yes.
for the approval,
Yes.
but I'm still waiting for
Definitely.
the approval. But
Yes.
we're in the beginning. So and just happy New Year and love and light to anyone that's watching, and for you, Miss B, for giving me your time and your space and your attention. So
Thank you. Well, you closed us out perfectly. So I'm still
no,
learning how to do this. So I'm going to close
yeah.
out. And then I'm
Okay.
going to send you another link, and then we're just going to debrief and we're done. But you did awesome. So this is Miss B, the goddess of
Okay.
empathy. The name is for you, the title is for me. You can just call me Miss B. And we have had the pleasure of speaking with Jose Barrientos, and check him out on social media, Facebook, Instagram, HIVstopswithme.org. And just stay tuned for the campaign. It'll be rolling out really soon. And thank you for joining me. Say bye, Jose.
Bye. Bye.